now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Laura Lanamy. On the show today, Steph talks Young Heart, a new film just being released by Piccadillo Pictures.
And Show Me the Gays. No, I'm not personally soliciting you. Andy Leake is live in the studio to talk about queer journalism.
All today.
Right here on Shout Out.
I didn't miss my cue this time. Last week I missed my cue and God forbid. We had to restart that whole thing.
Do it again if you want.
Oh no, thank you. No. Okay. Oh, like, okay. I had my moment to shine and I shined, darling.
That was lovely.
Thank you.
Lovely. So it's a shame it's radio. You can't see Lara's outfit. It is stunning.
It's very flashy.
It's very summery.
It is. Considering it's kind of like summer vibes.
It's kind of autumn. It's been raining this entire time. You're like, nope.
But your top makes me want to hug you.
I want to feel like a little cuddly bear today.
You look like
cuddly.
For the audience, can you describe it so they know what
it's wearing? It's a pink, hot pink.
Hot pink.
Fuchsia?
Oh, fuchsia. Fluffy, very fluffy, very cuddly. It makes you want to go, do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
But I would say, isn't that material quite sketchy?
No, because look, on the inside, it's got a nice
one. I'm stroking her, everybody. Just so you know. Oh, that is lovely to stroke everyone. I must say.
I'm so glad you're here, Andy. I'm not the only man.
Yeah, I know.
Very contrasting. What do you mean?
So, now we figured out. You two haven't actually met before,
no,
have
we
you?
No. Now we're meeting on air.
Meeting
I know.
On air.
Fresh, live and direct.
Yes.
I know. So I mean, I had a problem saying Piccadillo. Is Piccadillo?
It Piccadillo? It's Peccadillo, technically.
There you
but
go.
I'm sure. I mean, Piccadillo is. Yeah.
It's a BI, but like reading that off the cuff, I probably should have.
They make loads and loads of films, lots of LGBT films and
ooh,
like, yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Like, I think
we've done quite a few of their films before, so they're really good. They kind of contact us and let us know when they've got new things coming out.
I love that. I love a little like a bookstore film, because we need it. We need our resources and we need a specific place that cares about our resources.
Yeah, we've got quite a few of them that reach out and talk to us. It's quite nice. We get inundated. I mean, we could do shows just on books and films for the amount we get through, but
of course.
Steph's really good. She picks some really good stuff.
Steffi, we love you if you're listening.
She will be, yes, while she's packing her knickers to go on holiday.
Wow, Andy.
No,
don't you mean thongs?
I think you mean
that's
the Zimmer frame.
Of Steph, I really didn't want.
That's what I was saying. I'm putting it into your brain, Andy. That's why I like to do.
I love you, Steph. Oh my god.
Paint a picture.
And we should say get well soon to Terry as well, who's sadly not with us. Lucy's in, she's going to be helping us out with news with a Derek. Later.
Wait, I will read news and I will use my best Terry news voice.
Yeah. It's lovely to have you because you've not been well. Have you got like the long COVID type thing?
Yeah, it's boring. I'm old. Sorry.
Old is a very much of a stretch compared to Andy.
Oi. We're a similar age, I think.
Andy's about 2 years older than me.
No, I know. That's why I can say it, right?
You just said I was really old.
Exactly. Because you're only 2 years older.
I'm the oldest here.
Yeah, because Steph's not here. Zimmer frame's packed up.
Yeah, and how many times do you mock Steffi for her
age? Come on. Me and Steffi have always had that relationship on it. Well, it's been a thing since the day Shout Out started.
Oh, I bet it has.
Other co-presenters have had exactly the same. And you and I do it as well.
Yeah,
you
take
the mickey out of me.
I
can't
wait for you to have a walking stick.
You are such a diva. You walk in as we're just playing the opening jingle and I'm here, darling.
I like to keep your heart racing, Andy.
You do keep our hearts racing.
Good. That's how I do it. That's
so we were discussing who could do the best Lara in impression before you actually arrived.
Oh, wow. I don't think anyone needs to hear that. Who gave the best one?
Nobody tried.
Of course you did. I'm an original.
Of course.
Original. How have you been? How's your week been?
Good. I had a holiday in Paris and came back, and you know what? It's like 2 days of work. It feels like a holiday was like a month ago.
It honestly doesn't make sense.
And it's like the weather changed in 5 minutes. It went from summer to autumn.
Thank you. And my mood went from summer to winter real quick.
Well, it didn't tonight. You look like you're about about to go to the beach. That's well, up.
Ready
let's
for
go
a
to
bean
the beach.
Bar.
Andy, you sound jealous. You can borrow this top.
Oh, that is Andy's colour. That is Andy's.
The colour
it would look far better on me.
It would.
Listeners, it's a beautiful orange paisley sort of shirt waist boob hammock. It looks good.
Boob hammock. I like that.
Sorry, Lara. Oh, my God. Boob hammock. Made me blush.
No, my darlings, it is a boob hammock.
I'm so sorry.
No, don't worry. They need a hammock.
Well, you lot get all smutty on air and the like. shall we catch up with Steph and find out about this film?
I guess.
It's Young Hearts.
As you know, we delve into theatre and film quite often here on Shoutout, and there's a new film just been released by Anthony Shatman, and it's a love story. And it's called Young Hearts. I'm joined by Anthony. Anthony, welcome to Shoutout.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Very welcome. Now, before we get into the film that you've actually just released, how did you get into film? Were you always interested in that growing up?
Yeah, I always wanted to be an actor, but I also noticed that I always had a camera in my hand. We had like one big, very big family camera. And the moment I got to know how to handle it, I was always filming. And then I think I realized when I watched Titanic on the big screen, I was only 8 when I saw it, but something changed in me. And I was like, I want to do this. I want to create these kind of emotions and bring them to the screen. And then I went studying art, drama to become an actor. And there I noticed that you can also become a director. And I followed my dreams and it worked out.
Excellent. Now, you mentioned 8 years old. A lot of people would be thinking that 8, that's much too young to be emotionally hit by a film you're watching. But at 8, I watched my first ever film, and it was West Side Story, the original.
Amazing.
With Natalie Wood. And that impact, I cried at the end of that, and I was 8 years old. So films can have an impact at a very young age.
Yeah, true. I know it's, I think I watched it like around 11 times in the cinema. So my mom is also, she also knows every sentence. But I think it's still like, you know, in art school, in film school, everyone was really into the classic art film directors. And I was there because I liked Titanic, you know, and it was also always my dream to make films that are for everyone. So I tried to do it with Young Hearts as well.
Did Leonardo and Kate know about this love of Titanic?
I actually don't know if they know that we recreated some of the scenes.
I expect you have. Yes, I can imagine. Yeah, especially the front of the boat when they're hugging and flying.
Yeah. Right. Last year we were at the Oscars and we were at a party and Leonardo was there and I asked him a lighter. That's the only conversation we had.
Oh, okay. Sounds like you missed your opportunity there.
No, that comes in the future.
Ah, okay. I love it. Right, your current movie. Now, it's about two 14-year-old boys and I'm guessing it's based on your own story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it comes from the idea that, you know, we were all raised with Disney movies. And after 30 years, I was like, where is the Disney movie I needed when I was young? It was always about a boy and a girl, but I was like, I was waiting for a movie like this. And after 30 years, I was also ready to go back to my own youth. Everything's filmed in my village where I grew up. And I made the movie that I needed when I was young to show all kids around the world that it's okay to follow your heart and believe in yourself. And it's a story about love and friendship and to show everyone that, you know, it's also a normality and we're still in this heteronormative society. And I really wanted to create a dream for everyone. And some people say it's an utopian version of reality. And of course, this is not reality, but I hope one day, you know, it can be reality. And I hope for some kids, when they see the movie, they can dream of having this life as well.
Mm. What a lovely idea. And like you, I think we all wish for a more caring, loving world where everyone's accepted.
Yeah, true.
So can you give us a little bit of the plot line, or would that just be giving too much away?
No, it's okay. It's about Elias, 14 years old, lives in a very small village. He has friends, he has a good family. His father has a career of singing, just like my father when I was young. And he meets his new neighbor, Alexander, who comes from Brussels. And the moment they meet each other, butterflies are in the air. And he notices, when they have conversation, he asks Alexander, "Have you ever been in love?" And Alexander tells him, "Yes." And then Elias asks, "Who was the girl?" And then Alexander says, "It was no girl, it was a boy." And everything changes. And yeah, it's a story about the internal conflict when you're young, feeling alone, feeling a bit the outsider. But it's a really happy film, a colorful, sunny film. Yeah, I really wanted to make this example for everyone.
How can people watch the film? Can they watch
So
streaming, or have you got to go to the
the
cinema?
movie is released, which they are re tomorrow in all cinemas in UK and Ireland. We premiered a year and a half ago at Berlinale Film Festival, and then we were at Cannes. We did like the whole tour in the world, and now it's your turn. So I'm super excited to finally release it in the UK and in Ireland. So many people were waiting for it, and of course afterwards it will be on VOD platforms as well. But you make films to watch it on the big screen, no? So yeah, voilà. But it's in a lot of cinemas in all over UK. So I'm super excited. Yesterday we had the premiere at the Curzon in Bloomsbury, and then tonight it's the Barbican. So yeah, there's big things coming up.
Yeah, that's so lovely for you. Really good. Can you share anything you've got coming up? I'm guessing that now you've got this one, you're thinking, I've really got some other plans now to start another film.
Well, because the film was very close to me, it's really based on me and my family. My parents were a bit conflict avoiding. My brother was big, macho type, playing basketball. So I really felt alone, and I decided really to go back and make the version that I didn't have when I was young. And we've been touring for more than a year now. So I talked a lot about myself, and it was kind of a therapy. Luckily, a good therapy, because it also brought us closer together afterwards. And the moment my parents saw the film, it was quite a mirror for them, of course. But something very beautiful, emotional. So yeah, I was ready to do something else, of course, after a year. So I just shot a series for Netflix. We started editing. It's called High Tide. It's the third season of a show that's been that already had two seasons. An amazing show. I'm super proud. It's with my whole crew, and now I'm starting to write my second film. So let's hope I find my inspiration in London today or tomorrow.
I'm sure you will. I don't know what the weather's like in London. It's a bit dull here, so I'm hoping you've got some sunshine.
It's sunny and blue skies, so
Excellent, excellent.
yeah,
Now, before we leave you, can we have your socials, please, so people can follow you and keep up to date?
so my socials are Anthony Schatteman, and I don't know if you can spell it. It's Schatteman, Anthony. So you can follow me there, and yeah, and Young Hearts Film, of course.
Okay.
So spread the word, because I think love is something universal, and we still have to keep continuing telling this to everyone.
Indeed, indeed. And thank you so much for joining us here on Shout.
Thank you.
I hope it goes really well. And I'm
Thank you
sure
so much.
love stories just keep going, don't they?
Thank
Thank
you
you,
so much for
Anthony.
having me.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
I didn't hate
Nice
it.
bit of pink.
Ooh,
I know, I just hit myself in the face
yeah,
with
you
that.
did.
Luckily, it's got a
Nice
shield
soft
on it, so
landing. I was
didn't hear
boogieing.
it.
It was, you can move to that.
It's
You can
pink.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it.
Shrug my shoulders
Can't not
slightly.
like pink,
You
surely.
can very much not like pink.
Oh, okay.
I have
I
a
mean, you
massive.
are the most fussy with music that I know.
Thank you.
You know.
I like to say a connoisseur. But it's only because you choose some of the most interesting, let's say for the viewers, or the listeners actually, music.
Viewers.
Yeah, well, I was there, like, I'm on TV, I'm not really. But yeah, like, I love Pink. She'll always, since the Beautiful, I think it's Beautiful, was that the song? Like, the song that was like really beautiful in the 90s,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
She's had a place in my art. But I just can't
stand
pop.
Even her daughter's done Greatest Showman. With her, didn't she?
Did she?
Yeah, and I mean, she's now grown up a lot more. But when she was tiny, it was a gorgeous little song.
Oh, so, that is cute. I guess.
Anyway, should we get some news headlines?
I guess.
This is Shout Out News. Welcome along.
The anti-fascist campaign group Hope Not Hate has claimed a major victory this week, successfully halting a planned neo-Nazi rock concert in Great Yarmouth. The event was expected to draw around 500 veteran fascists, including violent members of the skinhead movement and supporters of Nazi fighting squads, some of which who are sanctioned as terror organisations in the UK. Hope Not Hate reports that the gig was secretly booked for the weekend by organisers Rob Claymore and local Blood and Honour veteran... Robert Bray. Blood and Honour is known to be an umbrella group for neo-Nazi rockers. In a statement, Hope Not Hate said, "Community and mainstream media, including some traditionally right-of-centre outlets, were praised for helping and shine a spotlight on the thuggish nature of the event."
BBC News, Sky News and ITV News have all reported on Wednesday that Esther Gay, mother of trans teenager Brianna Gay, who was tragically murdered in 2023, has called on schools to ban mobile phone use by students. Esther revealed that Brianna's life had been deeply affected by social media. It is now well documented that social media platforms have contributed to the spread of far-right views among pupils.
Blogger Erin in the Morning reports that a battle has erupted in Florida over pride crosswalks. At the heart of the conflict in the Pulse Memorial crosswalks, painted a rainbow colour to honour its victims of the 2016 Pulse massacre. State authorities have since painted over it and are now moving to erase the rainbow crosswalks across Florida. The Pulse site has become a flashpoint of resistance. Protesters continue to chalk rainbow colours back in, while state police maintain round-the-clock patrols. On Friday night, tensions escalated with the first arrest, only for a judge to immediately order the protesters' release, ruling that the Florida Highway Patrol has no probable cause. Despite this, other protesters remain detained on similar charges.
LGBT Hero, the Mental Health and Wellbeing Network, has issued heartfelt thanks for the overwhelming support shown during its recent bank holiday fundraiser. They raised an incredible £14,500 to support their vital work. The event featured teams, volunteers, RVT staff, compere Son of a Tutu, commentator Nick Heath and referee Ryan Atkin. A huge shout out to all participating teams, who were the Beef Mincers, Will You Be There Darling, Bear Bar Retirement, Mosaic Trust, London Frontrunners, Pride in London and the Titans.
The campaign for countering digital hate has revealed that incel hate groups were behind the leak of the T dating app, a woman-led platform designed to help users identify potential partners with troubling histories. The app was hacked and its data repurposed for misogynistic websites. Women's personal details were exposed, leading to widespread doxing, abuse and ridicule. Callum Hood, head of research, told the BBC, "The BBC notes that these issues reflect growing anxiety around heterosexual dating, with record numbers of young people now avoiding it altogether."
And now some radio news, because we are radio nerds. With summer bank holiday behind us, advertisers are already turning their attention to Halloween and, yes, Christmas. If you're someone... Not up for it, Lara. If you're not like Lara and someone who enjoys festive tunes months ahead of the season, good news! Magic Radio Group has launched its pop-up dab station Magic Christmas, playing non-stop holiday hits. Heart Christmas is expected to follow later this month. I can already hear the Mariah Carey tune getting teed up. Just imagine that xylophone, Lara. Ding, ding. Over to it, Erin.
That's it for us this week. For more stories, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. Stay connected with LGBTIA+ podcasts, magazines, and digital media throughout the week. We'll see you next time. For Shout Out News, this has been a Darren Jenkins and
Lucy Potter.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
So Mr. Toe and Wine now, yeah, okay.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Well, we certainly seem to like that one, don't we? Especially by the amount of dancing going on.
Get down off the table, Laura!
I can't.
Get down!
My ass won't stop!
The room is taking your body.
Literally, the room is taking my soul. Andy, that was you outdid yourself.
Did you say you'd actually gone and seen Rome live?
Yeah, so body movements. Body movement too. Yeah.
Was it in a huge arena, or was it?
No, it was a festival.
All right, okay.
In a park. It was lush. Yeah. But everyone wears less than nothing. So it's like strappy kind of outfits. Romy was incredible, I'm not gonna lie. I didn't even realize she was gonna be on, because I do this thing when I go to festivals where I'm just like, I really can't be asked to look at the who's going on, just take me to a good place and I'll just stand
you
there.
You just party.
Yeah, I just like to shake my ass, do you know what I mean? Like, whatever direction it is, whoever will take it.
Yeah.
Oh no, that sounds like I'm very like no, I don't mean that. I'm selective with who takes it. I promise you guys. Like, I promise.
Ladies, she's single.
Ladies. Well, so I'm ready to mingle.
Oh dear. So anyway, we ought to say hello to our guests. I mean, you've been here since the beginning. But welcome to Andy Leake. Hello, it's
good
lovely to have you on
here.
The show.
Thank you for having me.
Weird to say that your whole full name. I just.
I know.
Andy. There's two Andy. Andy squared in this.
It gets confusing, doesn't it? I feel like we were talking about everyone's outfits and I'm over here looking like I'm about to dodge lasers in an art gallery.
But I love it. It's giving Mission Impossible, but
it's
like
Lara Croft.
Serving. Yeah,
Lara Croft with Lara.
Yeah, literally, honey. The ginger version. So, do you want to just give a little bit of an intro of yourself? Tell us a little bit about, you.
So I'm Andy Leake, full name, and I'm a freelance LGBT journalist. I kind of started about 4 years ago writing for a news platform in New Zealand, and I was writing sort of travel stories from an LGBT perspective. And then when I came back to the UK, I got back into freelance journalism here, ended up as the LGBT editor for Bristol 24/7. I've written for Attitude magazine. I've also written a book chapter about Bristol's queer scene. And this year I've started doing some independent work called Show Me the Gaze, which
yes,
is...
that wasn't me soliciting Tom.
No,
I didn't say that.
Everyone he was trying to solicit. Let me just say this now. But
it happens all the time.
Yeah, but it does, darling.
And that's sort of like a video journalism platform with also, you know, discussion panels, talks. It's really an experiment for me to just kind of like build my skills in journalism. But
so you've been into it for a while then, by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's been in your blood from day one. What piqued your interest in the first place?
I would say I've always enjoyed writing. Yeah. I've always enjoyed that side of it. And I've always, if you look at videos from me when I'm younger, I didn't have a problem with asking lots of questions. You know, there are videos of me literally,
I know,
like
someone called Lara like that.
There's a few of us in the room. Well, we were chosen from a young age.
Yeah,
you know, what can we say?
Do you know what I mean?
So I always had an interest in it, and then it actually took me dating a journalist in New Zealand and him kind of coming back from his work every day and describing his day of meeting politicians, and you know, like, just frontline work sounded really interesting to me, so I thought, I'm going to go out and do that. And I've been able to find success in my own way because I'm also completely self-taught. I never studied journalism. I never had any industry connections in an industry that's very hard to navigate without both of those things. So, yeah, it's been a lot of hard work, but it's nice to see.
That's incredible.
You can't say that then and then not tell us what's been your highlight so far.
Oof. That's a big one. I'd say, okay, actually, the easy option is...
Other than being here, obviously, with that one, you know.
Other than today, I would say probably going to Istanbul with Attitude magazine.
All right.
That was amazing. That was in October last year. Very last minute, they were just like, okay, we're gonna fly you out there and you're going to interview different like drag performers and activists and people working in charities and just really get your teeth into the scene there. And it was really overwhelming and really intense and just like, you know, amazing conversations and really, really like amazing experiences. But I was tired at the end of that week.
and they published it all.
It was 10 pages in the magazine. Gosh, so
that must be brilliant to see that, because Attitude's huge.
It is. It's the biggest LGBT magazine in Europe. So, and that was an opportunity that they reached out to me for. So they'd seen my work and said, we really like your work. So it landed on my doorstep, which was very good.
So you have like written on all these like big platforms and run your own. And then it's locally in Bristol.
Uh-huh.
How do these like kind of different spaces change the kind of stories you can tell and whose voices do get amplified?
So I think like from a young age, I've always been really interested in underrepresented perspectives. I grew up as a gay man in a rural town, shout out to Shrewsbury, in the middle of Shropshire. And I guess I never really saw representation of myself. We had maybe two people who were out in my school, and they were very much like the punchline of jokes and just kind of like left out and ostracized and things like that. So I had an understanding of what it's like to be not seen and not represented. And I think what I really, really enjoy about having my independent platform is I have complete control over who I feature. You know, there's always going to be kind of, when you're working for another publication, you kind of have to like prove yourself and prove why the perspective that you're saying is important, which is why I've actually been focusing a bit more on my independent work this year, is because I got a bit frustrated with having to pitch and having things turned down and just like, oh, this is what I want to do. I want to be able to like tell the stories that I want to tell. So that's why my independent platform is my favorite, is because I get to focus on the perspectives without any outside influence. Mm. But I obviously enjoy all levels of it. I think that is just because I can say that's my own and that's a story that I'm platforming. That's what I'm most kind of proud of and interested in.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And like at a time where LGBT rights are so like are being challenged everywhere, especially in the UK and globally, what role do you think you have as a, like a queer journalist to pushing back on that narrative, and what voices are kind of at stake here? Like, do you think that you need to kind of platform?
So I feel like I'm going to get my tinfoil hat on a little
bit. Yeah, get on the soapbox, please.
Conspiracy theory power hour, here we go. But I think it's a very cynical time with the mass media at the moment. I think like media that isn't independent is influenced by so many different things that means that, you know, the perspectives that are being platformed are influenced by outside, and it just kind of means that you can't tell the stories that you want to tell. And a lot of stories that are happening in the media at the moment are, you know, working against people who are trans, working against people who belong to like minority groups, queer people, all of these things. And I think that, you know, for example, our interview, we spoke and I kind of asked you about the importance of representation, and you said, like, I'm so proud to be a black woman. I'm so proud to be queer. And I think that it's so important in this time period that we're in, where we're seeing media and social media, because social media is a big part of media as well. So many kind of stories and things that are telling you that you should be afraid to be out on the streets. You should be afraid to be proud. Having someone speak in a video and say, not only am I, you know, proud to be queer, proud to be black, I actually see it as an advantage, is such a powerful thing for people to see. And it's not something that's being platformed in other places. You know what I mean? Like, I think that we have a lot to learn from the communities that are being discriminated against. And I think that, again, tinfoil hat, I think that is why they're kind of being oppressed, because we can learn so much from trans people, queer people of color, all of these things about community and organizing. And if you are sort of like in mass media, in government, things like that, then that is kind of a threat to you.
Against what you want. And that's, do you know what inspired me to come onto your program, is because I saw the Bristol Ballroom scene, people, and the way you represented them was so beautiful, Andy. Like the way you did the, like, you know, they walked and then they said something really powerful.
Yeah.
Like, what does it mean to represent voices like that in the community doing the beautiful work? I know you said me, but like, that was such a powerful thing that I saw. And I was like, yeah, of course I want to be part of that, you know?
And I will say, so that was kind of the first video that I've put all of my kind of money into and time into and edited it. And I was like, okay, we're going to get this right because I want to tell these stories well. Again, it's just going back to, I think it's the timing of like right now, there are so many horrible things on social media. You know, we saw this protest of 150,000 far-right people out on the streets of in London, like going out and like threatening violence against like people of color and all of these things. And I think it's so important to show that it's not a negative thing to belong to those communities. It's a positive thing. It's something that you should be proud of. It's an advantage. Like through my queerness, I've been able to experience communities like Ballroom, which is like amazing performance and creativity and all of these things. And I've been kind of in the Ballroom community for the past 6 or 7 years as an observer. And that is a space that is, it's not only platforming queer and trans, you know, people of color, it's celebrating them. It's celebrating your femininity, every body size, all of these things. And for me personally, I have learned so much from those spaces.
Self-love, a bit of self-love, isn't it, as well? Yeah.
Self-acceptance.
Yeah, and it's massive. And inner confidence, because it's something I realized, it's like, it's not, you can be outwardly confident.
Yeah.
But it's about the inner kind of like source of that, right? If definitely. You have that inside. And that's what I've always admired about that. And what I'm interested in is when you look back in 10 years, yeah. into the, when you're in the future,
yeah.
what do you hope to be most proud of in terms of your journalism, and what do you hope to have, like, bring up, brought about?
Honestly, I think I've been lucky and I've worked hard. It's a combination of things, but I have been able to get here without anyone else's help and without studying journalism, as in, like, you know, no one got me the jobs that I've got. I've worked for it all. And I think that what I really, really want, that the end goal is I want to run my own magazine. I want to, like, run an independent news platform. And my big aim for that is to provide opportunities for people from underrepresented communities. And that's something that I've already been able to do as part of my work with Bristol 24/7 as LGBT editor. I got commissioning rights, so I could commission articles. And the first thing I did was like, right, okay, well, I want someone who's like a queer person of color. I want someone who's like from the disabled communities. I want someone who is also like religious as well, because these are all communities that I don't belong to. I'm only one man. I try my best to represent different communities, but I think I want to continue doing that, basically just passing on the baton.
Do you think it's possible from the inside as well to persuade the mainstream media to be more friendly towards us? Because I mean, there has been times in history when they've been as nasty as they are now, and it kind of goes up and down. At the moment, we're in a very low bit, yeah. where everything's very anti anything LGBT, especially the trans side, as we know. How do you go about tackling that from the inside to make them understand actually what they're saying isn't right?
Definitely. Well, I think, like, I've actually been thinking about this quite a lot. And if you think about it logically, you know, things like homophobia, transphobia, racism, it doesn't make any sense when you actually think about it, you know, like, for example, homosexuality exists in animals. We see it in nature. The oldest human civilizations, indigenous cultures like Native American cultures and Pacific cultures, have not only just a concept of being non-binary and trans, they put them on platforms and they say, these people are wise. We can learn from them. They walk in different paths, two different paths of life, the two genders. If the oldest civilizations didn't have a problem with being trans, being queer, then that tells us that it is taught. And the people who are teaching us these things are the people in government, the people in the media, the people in the power. So I think kind of as soon as people realize that and realize, like, there is no logic behind homophobia, transphobia, racism, it's all taught, then we can all move on and actually tackle the real problems, which is, you know, we're losing so much of our money to tax avoidance and the ultra rich and things like that. So yeah, that would be my answer to that question.
So going back to what Lara said about what you want to look back on in 10 years, where would you like to be in 10 years
in terms of geographically?
Your career and
I'd love to run a magazine, honestly. That's my goal. I think it's achievable. I would also love to publish a few books along the way.
Hey, I love that.
You know, just like, I've had quite a crazy life, to be honest. So it would be a lot of fun
to
write about.
He's not that old, listeners.
I'm not that old.
He's not 60 or
something. I'm not that old, but if you look into my eyes, they can tell some stories for sure. And anyone who knows me closely can confirm that.
I do actually want to ask you a question about that, because I'm really intrigued. Like, for a young person that's out there, right, and loves journalism or like loves asking stories and finding out stories, but is scared and doesn't know where to start, like, what can they do? Given the fact that you were in New Zealand when you first got your break or that idea, but we're very much in the UK. So, like, what can a young little Andy do to get into journalism?
I think, honestly, that the best way to do it is actually I've been navigating. My friend just moved from New Zealand to here, and I'm navigating through exactly that of just like what you need to do is focus on small newspapers. Like when I first moved back to the UK, I moved to Bristol, and the first magazine that I wrote for was Bristol Cable. And they're just a smaller community-run independent kind of magazine and newspaper. And I'd say that's for people who are going to give you the opportunities. That's for people who are going to be looking for underrepresented perspectives. And I would say find your perspective, find your niche. So like when I was in New Zealand, I said to them, I was like, basically, I'm in New Zealand on a working holiday visa. The borders are closed because it's COVID. I've got this really unique perspective. I'm also a queer person who has kind of existed in traditionally less queer spaces. So for example, like playing rugby, surfing, skating, all of those things. And I kind of sold that perspective to this editor who was writing for Stuff, which is the largest digital media platform in New Zealand. And he was like, yep, of course, go ahead and write
so
for
you,
us.
You brought you to it. And so it's the authenticity of the person. And everyone's authentic in their own way, right? So is that you champion, like, not trying to be another voice, but trying to find your own?
100%. And through that, then I kind of found this passion of underrepresented perspectives. And that has now gone on to be like, you know, what I really champion, bringing underrepresented perspectives to the mainstream media. And the first article that I wrote actually in New Zealand was about going on a hike, a 2-day hike out in the New Zealand countryside, and experiencing that as a queer person, and how even if you don't necessarily experience homophobia, it's all in your head about like, am I going to be able to hold my boyfriend's hand? Am I going to, you know, get any second glances and stuff? And what I kind of actually concluded from that is I didn't necessarily experience that, but the fact that we even have to think about that sets us apart from straight people. And that story then went on to be the most read story on the media platform for the whole week. It was literally just my face on the front page, and I had so many comments about a lot of people not understanding it initially, of just like, okay, well, if there isn't an issue, why are you talking about it? But then so many people being like, I think about this every time I go out into the countryside. I've never read about anything like this before in the media, especially in New Zealand. So it's just about finding that niche and selling it, I guess.
Yeah, because that brings me back to something that Andy said that to me, that I hope you don't mind if you I say this.
I have no idea what you're going
to
say.
But like Andy has said that you wouldn't walk down the street with your holding your partner's hand.
No, I'm of a generation where it doesn't feel wrong to me to hold his hand. It's more the fear of what would happen. And every time I've ever felt like we are getting there as a society and I would think about doing it, a story comes over our news desk of, you know, like the most recent one was two guys got beaten up outside Seamus O'Donnell's here in Bristol. You're like, that's a gay pub, well, a LGBT-friendly pub, and they were sat outside just having a drink and a load of guys came and beat them up. They weren't even holding hands, you know. So unless I'm going to hit the gym and suddenly become like twice as broad and twice as strong, I struggle with things like that. That's why pride is so important to me. You know, to be able to go and do that. And I always try and make sure that my husband spends time, because we get very busy doing the radio when we're there as well. But I always try and spend some time with him, because we can just walk out around that field and I feel safe. And, you know, I can can be myself. And it's part of society, it's also part of me. I see a lot of the youngsters do it. And when I see them, I have to make sure I don't actually stare at them.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's great. And I look at them and I'm like, I'm so pleased the younger generations feel safe enough to do it. And the more of them that do it, the more normal it becomes and the more it becomes accepted, etc.
Definitely.
But I'm 47, not 17, you know, exactly. So it takes a bit more. So.
And I think that's why your platform is so important, right? Because it's speaking to voices like Andy's.
Yeah.
And like those, that generation that may not have experienced the joy of like being able to walk down the street with their holding their partner's hand. But it gives voice to both, doesn't it? People
exactly.
that can and that can't. And I think that's so important. So where can people find your platform? Yeah. And I guess, can you give a little sneak peek of what you got next?
Okay. So on Instagram, it's all one word, show me the gaze, as it sounds. Also, if you go on Bristol 24/7, the LGBT section, that's mostly my writing. It's some of the pieces that I have been commissioning. I've got a few things kind of coming up.
Are you still doing stuff with 24/7?
I am, yeah. So I'm still the LGBT editor there. Cool. And I'm commissioning quite a lot of very, very good articles. So keep your eyes peeled on that. In terms of Show Me the Gaze, I've got a discussion panel coming up on the 22nd of October, which is going to be about, it's going to be basically like Save Bristol's Queer Scene, kind of quote unquote, because a lot of events are really struggling to sell tickets because of things like the cost of living crisis and people having different priorities. And it's just going to be kind of refocusing it back on why we really need to be supporting these queer events, because so many events have been cancelled left, right and centre, and events that are really, really important. And I also had a very lovely time with the boys at Bristol Bison's Rugby Club, doing some video interviews with them. And I've started to see them come through on the cutting floor and they look amazing.
I bet they do.
Yes.
Yeah, come on,
stay
Daddy.
Stay tuned.
We haven't had them on for a while, actually.
No.
Lovely boys.
Well, hopefully we can give a bit of a tag when they're out. So because your platform is truly gorgeous and
I'm so
glad it exists. So thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
No, you've been gorgeous. Thank you.
Wonderful. For now, though, the lovely Andy Leake. Stay with us, you listen to Shout Out. Back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
There you go. That's a Row by Sail North.
You love that one. Like that. You absolutely love that one. Yeah.
It was one of those TikTok things. He just put it together as a bit of fun and it like went mental.
Well,
have you seen the latest one with the guy singing Bohemian Rhapsody?
No.
They did over in France. It's got like 35 million views.
Well, okay. I wasn't one of them.
No. Oh, wow. Okay. Quite straight. No, well, that wasn't me.
Same.
Well, okay.
Same. It's like when someone goes, oh, they're so famous. Well, I don't know them. So yeah, they can't be.
No, the thing is, right, I purposely don't get TikTok because I don't want to be the
I haven't got TikTok either.
No, because I will scroll. I scroll on Instagram too much.
Scroll.
I swear to. And I say, as soon as there's so much going on in the outside world, yeah. I'm like, what's a distraction? Like funny little animals and little cutie things on Instagram. And it's addictive. It's like as if they made it addictive.
Oh, yeah. The Women's Rugby World Cup right now.
I swear to God.
You need to be on Instagram and just watch all of that.
Lucy
the
is
South
so
African team. Oh man, I love all of them. Absolutely love all of them.
Okay, do we need a clean up on aisle three or something like that?
No, they're just amazing people. They are just really,
kind,
really cool.
Great personalities.
No, they're just really, really good. Yeah.
Did Bristol play against Scotland recently? Am I making that up?
England played
Bristol.
Against Scotland.
Bristol versus Scotland.
Bristol. Yes. So the quarterfinals were last weekend and the semi-finals are this weekend in Ashton Gates.
Okay, because I actually...
Tickets are about £25.
I think...
Oh, right, you there.
I think three of the Scottish players came in.
Hang on. You tried to say this three times now.
Right.
Go on.
So at my work, three Scottish players came in because I was stood next to them in the changing room and went, well, you all look like rugby players because they got, they're quite broad shoulders.
Yeah, they're tonky. Like,
and I was like, I'm not looking at you.
I bet you're right.
But I know that. I'm so sorry,
listeners. I didn't mean to divert that. We were just talking about Instagram.
Yes, you did. Literally, any opportunity Lucy can get to talk about England women's rugby.
It's so gay, everyone. It's so gay. And there are 54 out players in the Rugby World Cup.
Which is brilliant.
It's more out than England netball. Football.
Yeah, they all date each other as well. Yeah,
of course they do. That sounds incestuous.
In fact, I'm sure I saw that there was a lesbian couple who are actually playing against each other.
Yes,
that was all over, that all over the news.
That has happened.
I would love to run into my wife. Tournament. Like, literally, like, take that! Like, especially you had an argument the night before, you'd be like, and here we go. Not that I would take out on that, but like, you know. But I'm sure, yeah, rugby is such a good skill, yeah. though.
But
like,
there aren't many out men, are there, in rugby?
Well, there that's just
any.
Different.
There aren't any.
There aren't any. Wow. Are you sure? We need to talk about the difference between out... Yeah, men's men women's sports women, yeah. is very, very different yeah. in terms of LGBT.
But it's so nice to see LGBT it all over the TV.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, women's sport was a huge thing during World War II because all the men were off fighting. Mm. And when the men came back, they like, banned it all.
They're like, hold our drink, we'll go again.
They went, no, you're not allowed to do that as men's sport. And it all shut down. I mean, it was a different time, admittedly. But that, I mean.
No, but what I loved about the women's football was that it really got all sides, like both young boys and young girls, involved in it. And I think that's the thing, like, you can enjoy football is football regardless of gender. It's and so is rugby,
yeah,
right?
It's just good sport.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
it's
like,
just good sport.
I'm so over comparing them. They are different. They don't have to be the same. Like, one doesn't have to be as good as the other.
I like men's rugby, just like you like the women's rugby.
You like men's rugby, oh, yeah. like you like the women's rugby.
Is it the shorts, Andy?
Like they like the women's rugby.
Okay. Yeah.
Nothing to do with shorts at all, right. honest.
The so, short shorts, Andy.
Anyway, that's it for this week. Keep up to date and listen again. You can find out all about us online.
Go to shoutoutradio.lgbt. I thought I should have got that down by now. And don't forget to get in contact if you'd like to get involved in the show.
Next week, we're back with another live guest, but I can't say who yet. So join us for that. From myself, from Lara, from
Lucy,
and Andy, and Darren, and Andy, and everyone that's not here who's not well. Say goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.